Today, we conclude our series of teachings from Paul's letter to the church in Rome with a brief exploration of Romans chapter 16. Now, Romans 16 is not typically a chapter we go to when searching for a word from the Lord. Much of this chapter is comprised of a list of names that Paul mentions as he closes his letter. It's a lot like the genealogy at the beginning of Matthew's gospel. It's flyover country when you're reading through the Bible. We skip it so that we can get to something more interesting and meaningful. But if we'll slow down and read this list of names carefully, we will see the power of the gospel at work within it. So let's first read the list, and then I'll show you what I mean. I apologize in advance for mispronouncing some of these names. I was raised in West Texas, but I've also seen Gladiator 100 times, so I do know how to pronounce Roman names. We'll pick it up in chapter 16, verse 3. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my co-workers in Christ Jesus. They risked their lives for me. Not only I, but all the churches of the Gentiles are grateful to them. Greet also the church that meets at their house. Greet my dear friend Epaphroditus, who was the first convert to Christ in the province of Asia. Greet Mary, who worked very hard for you. Greet Andronicus and Junia, my fellow Jews who have been in prison with me. They are outstanding among the apostles, and they were in Christ before I was. Greet Ampliatus, my dear friend in the Lord. Greet Urbanus, our co-worker in Christ, and my dear friend Stachys. Greet Apelles, whose fidelity to Christ has stood the test. Greet those who belong to the household of Aristobulus. Greet Herodian, my fellow Jew. Greet those in the household of Narcissus who are in the Lord. Greet Tryphena and Tryphosa, those women who work hard in the Lord. Greet my dear friend Persis, another woman who has worked very hard in the Lord. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother, who has been a mother to me too. Greet Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermes, Patrobus, Hermas, and the other brothers and sisters with them. Greet Philologus, Julia, Nereus, and his sister, and Olympus, and all the Lord's people who are with them. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the churches of Christ send greetings. One of the first things we notice about the names on this list is their diversity. All the people represented by these names are yet another embodiment of the gospel Paul preaches. There are men and women, Jews and Gentiles, slaves and free, the weak and the strong. They're all together in the church in Rome. They are the leaders, they are the servants, they are the backbone, the heart and soul of the church. And they're all different. And some of them have their differences, but they have all been called into the same family, welcomed to the same table, gathered into the same church around the same Lord Jesus Christ. And this is the power of the gospel, reaching out and including all kinds of different people into the same body of Christ. And so when Paul closes the list by saying, greet one another with a holy kiss, obviously not writing in a time of social distancing, he's reinforcing one of the major messages of his letter yet again. Greet one another with a holy kiss. Welcome one another. Accept one another. Embrace one another despite your differences, just as Christ has already welcomed, accepted, and embraced you. A second thing we notice about this list of names is that these names represent real people. If you're like me, you sometimes struggle to think of the apostles being real people. Yes, we know they existed, but they're not like us. Their lives were different, extraordinary even. When I read Paul's letters, I can't help but think of him as this powerful preacher who planted numerous churches, and he traveled around the Roman Empire, always getting in trouble, surviving a shipwreck, and all the while still finding time to write almost half of the New Testament. That's not normal. But the names on this list, they're normal people. People just like us. They get up in the morning and they go to work. They do not like paying their taxes. They worry about their kids. They don't always get along with each other. And yet in the midst of all of this everyday life, they're doing their best to serve God and follow Christ and to love one another, just like we are. Well, a third thing I notice about this list is that it reinforces the importance of gospel-formed relationships. All of these people are important to Paul, so important that he mentions them in his letter. He has a history with some of them. He has had difficult experiences, gone through suffering with a few of them. Priscilla and Aquila. He says, "You risked your lives for me." Wouldn't you like to know more of that story? And then Andronicus and Junia. He said, "You were Christians before I was. You're well known as apostles who travel from city to city and start churches, preaching the gospel." And then he says, "We ended up in prison together." There's a history here. And some of the people on this list have encouraged and supported Paul in his ministry, either directly or with their example, or maybe even just by their reputation. He mentions Epaphras, whom he describes as a dear friend, and also the first convert in the province of Asia. Epaphras is a risk taker. Epaphras is not afraid to be the first one to step forward. Imagine how encouraging that must have been to a church planner like Paul. Every time he goes to a new city or a new region, he's always wondering who will be the first. Who will be the first to pledge his or her allegiance to Christ? And one time, it was Epaphras. And Paul has never forgotten it. And then he mentions women like Tryphena and Tryphosa and Persis, whom he says work very hard in the Lord. And then there's the mother of Rufus. He doesn't mention her name. She goes down in history as the woman who dared call her son Rufus. And Paul says, "She's like a mother to me too." When we pay close attention to the names on this list, it becomes evident that Paul's formation as a disciple of Christ did not happen in a vacuum. When God called Paul to be the apostle of the Gentiles, he didn't pump down magic gas from heaven to transform Paul's life overnight. Instead, God used other people, other Christians, to make a difference in Paul's life, to help Paul learn what it means to follow Christ. Just like God does with us, God put Paul in relationship with other Christians who then helped shape and form and transform his life. And Paul mentions these people because they live in Rome and because he's writing to the church in Rome, but if we had asked them, he could come up with a much longer list of people who had impacted his life, a list filled with names of men and women scattered throughout the Roman Empire. I'm sure you could come up with a list of from your own life as well. I know I can. I've got some good names on my list. On my list, there's Nadine Goldstein. She was my second grade Sunday school teacher. And she encouraged me to memorize and then recite 13 Bible verses so I could get a Bible as a prize. I took the challenge, I did it, and I still have that Bible today. Jimmy D. Curtis is on my list. Every Sunday, he volunteered to help out in Bible Hour, what we now call Kids Journey. From an early age, he taught me stories and songs about Jesus. And Phil Payne and Mark Schubert are on my list. They were two deacons who took responsibility for our youth group when we didn't have a youth minister. And they drove the church bus to youth rallies, and they sacrificed their vacation time so they could be counselors at church camp in summer. Mark Schubert even tried to teach me how to be a song leader. And after about an hour of practice, he realized I couldn't coordinate my hand with my voice, and he finally just gave up and said, "Why don't you try preaching instead?" Mary Horner is on my list. She was a sweet older lady in my home congregation who sat near the front. And when I preached my first sermons as an 18-year-old, she nodded her head and smiled in affirmation as if everything I was saying was the most important thing she had ever heard in a sermon. When I would quote a Bible verse, Mary Horner knew her Bible so well, she would quote the words along with me. Her smile made me proud to be a preacher. I could go on and on. This list is just a section from my growing up years. I have a much longer list of people who have been so important to me at different stages and phases of my life. But rather than focus on my list, I invite you to consider the names on your list. Come up with your own list. The 3 or 4 or 5 or 10 people that God has used to make a difference in your life. Those people that have come along at just the right moment to speak words of hope or grace or forgiveness to you when you most need it. Come up with your list of the people God uses to make you more like Christ. And then have some fun with the people on your list. Send them a note or a card or maybe just a text with this phrase on it: "You're on my list." That's it. That's all you have to say. Freak them out. What kind of list am I on? You're on my list. Maybe right now, get out your phone and pick someone from this congregation who's an encouragement to you and text them that phrase: "You're on my list." I asked our graduating seniors who in our church is on their list. And here is how several of them responded.
"I am thankful for Frank Myers, who has never failed to foster my love of reading and always has a new book for me.
I'm thankful for Sean Brentham. There's been many different times where I've gotten to spend some quality time with Sean. The most important for me, though, was out at the Sanderson's Ranch. We're out on the dove hunt. Just getting to spend time with him out there, just being guys together. He's so funny, good teacher. But also just his wisdom, getting to have a great conversation with him and getting good advice too. You can tell that he truly cares about people around him."
"Thank you, Sean Beasley. Kids Journey will always have a special place in my heart."
"I'm thankful for Earl Young because he shows me continuous support through track and field and will come to my meets. I am also thankful for Sophia Vanowski because she asks challenging questions in our classes, which in turn allows me to think deeper on our lessons."
"I'm thankful for Michael Sanderson. He's always done his part to make me feel included and has helped make church feel more like a family than just a place. I've enjoyed time hunting and fishing with him and with Stone, and also think he has a great sense of humor."
"I am thankful for Dr. and Mrs. Cheek for always being supportive and for being the best Bible class teachers."
"I would like to thank Aunt Becky, the Sandersons, and the Wrights for always being there since the beginning of my life and supporting me by coming to all of my activities. Thank you."
"And I wanted to make a video for my best friend Erin Harper and her family because they're the main reason I go to Preston Road all the time, and they've just helped me go closer to God, and I'm so thankful for them."
"I am so thankful for the Perkins and everything that they've put into my life, the kindness, the laughs, and the lunches that we've shared, and just how you've shaped me into the woman that I am today. I love you guys so much. I love you, Miss Perkins. I love you, Auntie Vicky, and I miss Howard always. I love you guys, and I hope to see you again soon. Bye."
Our graduating seniors are blessed to have grown up in a congregation where so many people have loved them and invested their lives and their love in them. And I challenge our graduating seniors to remember the people on your list. Remember them and follow their example. Remember the way they invested their lives and their love in you, and imitate them and invest your life in love in others. In other words, I challenge you to live a list-worthy life, so that someday you get a text from someone else saying, "You're on my list." And when you receive it, you know what it means. And you immediately think of your list and all the people who've made a difference in your life. And you remember that because they're on your list and have helped you become the person you are, you're now on someone else's list. May we all live list-worthy lives. And may we all continue to love and encourage and support and bless one another in Christ. I'll see you next time.